This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Two fatal bus accidents in the past week, one in New York and the other in New Jersey, are raising fresh concerns about the safety of discount interstate buses and sparking calls for tougher government oversight over a growing industry.
Discount buses carry millions of passengers a year. Here in Boston, you can hop on the Bolt Bus, the Mega Bus, the Fung Hua, and ride to New York City for about $15, maybe less. It's a great deal, but the question is, how safe are these buses, and who makes sure the drivers are qualified?
According to New York State officials, the driver in the deadly casino tour bus crash in New York earlier this week never should have been behind the wheel in the first place. He'd been convicted of manslaughter and burglary and had numerous unresolved traffic tickets. The bus he was driving swerved on I-95, flipped on its side, skidded along a guardrail, and was sliced open. 15 people died.
In the wake of that crash and the one in New Jersey, New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg said today he will hold congressional hearings on bus regulations. Lautenberg urged the Federal Department of Transportation to make swift progress on motor coach safety.
In the meantime, millions of travelers are still choosing the cheapest option. Radio Boston's Jason Breslow caught up with some of them at South Station.
My name is Katie Black, and I'm going to New York City on the Bolt bus because it's cheap and I have a chance to use the Wi-Fi to do papers and stuff for school.
So my name is Jessica. I'm riding the Megabus to New York from Boston, and I'm on spring break. And it was like the cheapest option. It's $13, and I'm on a budget.
Hi, my name is Aisha, and I'm currently headed to New York City via Greyhound. I paid $35. Honestly, I don't really think about the safety, and that's pretty bad to say. I don't own a car, so I have to rely on other forms of transportation, and I guess my life is in their hands.
Some travelers there at South Station in Boston who opted to take the bus. Listeners, what's your experience with discount buses? Are you attracted by the low costs? And are you confident that they'll get you to your destination safely? Do you think they need better oversight? If so, give us a call. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We'd also be interested to hear from bus drivers, the drivers who drive some of these discount buses. Joining us now from Washington, D.C. to talk about this issue is Peter Pantuzzo. He's CEO of the American Bus Association, which represents the bus tour and travel industry. And Peter, good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for including us.
Also with us from Washington is Joan Claybrook, former president of the consumer advocacy group Public Citizen. She was also the head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration under President Jimmy Carter. And welcome to you, Joan Claybrook.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you. I should say you're from talking to us from our studios at NPR in Washington. And let me start with you, Joan Claybrook. Do you have concerns about how this growing industry of discount buses is regulated? And if so, what are they?
I definitely have problems. And in fact, there's legislation that was pending in the last Congress that the American Bus Association worked really hard to kill and succeeded with Senator Coburn of Oklahoma. It was outrageous. This bus industry is virtually not regulated at all for safety. And there are 40 years of recommendations by the National Transportation Safety Board that have not been adopted, and they need to be incorporated in buses. And they include such basic things as safety belts and firefighting equipment and roof strength and anti-ejection window glazing and rollover protection and tire pressure monitoring requirements and safety standards for new tires. And they also include safety in the seating, interior impact protection, crash avoidance requirements, and then, of course, for the carriers themselves, driver training and requirements for new companies that come into this business and oversight of the companies and testing for the drivers.
So, Joan, that's quite a list. Let me go to Peter Pantuzzo of the American Bus Association. Most of what Joan just referred to there, Peter, sounds like reasonable stuff, I think, to the average listener. What does the American Bus Association have against those kinds of recommendations?
Well, I think the real question, Anthony, is this a safe way to travel? And absolutely it is. The Department of Transportation, the National Transportation Safety Board, and other safety groups around the country, National Safety Council, as a matter of fact, have always looked at the bus industry and said this is one of the safest modes of transportation, certainly the safest mode on the highways and of surface transportation.
But could it be? But could it be safer? I mean, I guess the issue here, and we're aware that when you have two rather spectacular crashes and a loss of life, 15 people in one of those crashes, people are going to ask the question: could it be safer?
And I think the bus industry, like the food industry or the drug industry, any consumer product can certainly always work to be safer. We've got a great safety record, but absolutely one fatality is one too many, and we certainly want to make it safer than it already is, which has, again, a great safety record. I think the issue that we're really talking about and what we've seen in the crashes in the last week has been an issue and a question of enforcement. How do we get bad or illegal bus operators off the road?
And Jane Claybrook, what do you say to that? Because it was rather striking, one of the details we just referred to in that New Jersey crash, and we should stress, these crashes are still under investigation. We don't know exactly what caused them yet. But when you read that the driver was in prison for manslaughter, for burglary, he didn't have a license to drive a car because of pending traffic tickets, how was he behind the wheel of a bus?
Well, that's a very good question, and that's the reason we want this legislation enacted. It's not that it's a safe way to travel, and therefore it shouldn't have any regulation. Airlines are a safe way to travel. There have been no deaths or no injuries with airline travel, and yet they're very heavily regulated. And one of the reasons they are is to keep them safe and so that they won't. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that nearly 8,000 people a year are injured, and some very badly injured, and 20 killed each year on average in motor coach crashes. And what's amazing to me is that the American Bus Association, Peter Pantuso, who is the head of it, he testified that in 2008, that since 1966, the federal government has role is to set safety standards, but it's chosen not to act. How can anyone say the industry should have acted in the government's stead? That's what he testified to. So we got a bill introduced, and it was about to go through when he worked like mad to stop it and had very misleading claims about the cost, totally undocumented. And so what's the big deal? Let's have regulation that has some very basic requirements, and let's protect people in these crashes. Without safety belts, when these buses roll over, 70% of the people who are killed are ejected.
Okay,
and
well,
that's because they don't have protection but belts and other interior crash protection.
Joan Claybrook, let me put that to Peter Pantuso. Peter, you can respond any way you want. I mean, obviously, Joan took you to task there pretty severely. But, I mean, is the issue, I mean, does the industry resist new regulations like mandating seat belts and strengthening the buses and that whole laundry list of things that Joan Claybrook was talking about? Because it's going to put the price of a ticket and the price of doing business way up.
Yeah, unfortunately, if we're obviously going to have a discussion, we want to have accurate information. You know, certainly there have been airline crashes. It seems like there was one in Buffalo not too long ago. But beyond that, if you look at the issue of safety and what's important, the industry, I think, is really on the same side of many of the safety advocates when it comes to safety. We want to do all that we can to protect our passengers, to protect our customers, to protect our members. And, well, again, we know that there may be 20 fatalities a year out of a passenger base of 750 or more million people, more people than travel by airlines travel by bus, yet we maintain a very, very good safety record. So we want to do more. We know we can do more. And we have certainly been very, very supportive of seatbelts. So we filed comments in a rulemaking that's been ongoing for a period of time and that I'm assuming will be resolved by the end of this year, early next year, that would require seatbelts in new buses. We're certainly very, very supportive of that and many of the other elements that Ms. Claybrook mentions. But, however, I would add one note of caution. Anything that's done to change the structure of the bus, whether it's adding seatbelts, changing the roof, changing the windows, has really got to be done in some kind of a scientific way. It's got to be engineered into the bus. You can't just change one thing today and change another thing tomorrow. It's also got to be done in some kind of a holistic way so that all the safety elements work together, not against one another.
Well, let's get some callers in here. And Joan Claybrook, I heard you take a breath there and you want to say something. I do want to get some callers because this is about the sort of traveling public, and we've got a lot of folks listening out there. Listeners, we're talking about safety on those discount buses that you can jump on at South Station and run up and down the Eastern Seaboard on pretty easily these days. Give us a call, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Madeline, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Madeline.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Sure.
I've had good and bad experiences on the discount buses, and I realize that if they were regulated, my bad experience might have not happened.
Do you want to run through that really quickly, Madeline? What was your bad experience?
The bad experience was the driver packed 15 people into a van. It was an internet connection. It wasn't even a true bus. It was a van. And it was overstuffed, and he was an erratic driver. And I was very happy to arrive in one piece at the destination. But parenthetically, I've been on the larger buses, which will remain nameless, both the generic and the name brand, which have discount traveling. And the generic did not come up to snuff in terms of cleanliness or the driver.
Okay.
Not as steady driver as the one for the name brand bus. And it was the same amount of money.
Well, Madeline, thanks for the call. And Joan Claybrook, let's sort of pick up that issue, which I think could be summed up, driver training. Do you have concerns about the way drivers, particularly on these discount buses, are trained? Do they get enough training? Do we know what the standard is?
They do not get enough training, and that's why the commercial driver license requirements for bus drivers should be more stringent than they are today. And there also should be a stronger oversight of the bus companies. One of the things that happens is that a bus company gets in trouble, it abolishes itself and recreates itself, and there are no requirements that you have to reveal that you were the prior company. And so also there are not sufficient requirements by the Department of Transportation in terms of overseeing new entrant companies into this business.
Hmm.
They should, conduct a pre-authorization safety audit within 90 days of the application and perform a safety management review. And the new entrants should have to pass written proficiency exams and so on. So the companies themselves are not regulated. The drivers themselves are not sufficiently regulated. And the design and structure of the buses aren't. And I completely dispute what Mr. Pantuso says about having to have a sufficient knowledge technically of how the standard should be written for engineering. The Department of Transportation has lots of engineers,
sure,
and they do it all the time. And other companies in other countries do this. Even in Eastern Europe, they test their buses for structure.
Joan, forgive me. I'm only interrupting because you're raising one or two issues at a time, and I want to give Peter Pantuso a chance to respond. Let's start with that, with driver training, Peter Pantuso. Respond to what Joan Claybrook said.
Well, let me go back just a little bit to the caller, and I think there's one clarification that we need to make, Anthony, when we're talking about discount bus lines. There are lots of companies that offer discounts, but there are some incredibly good companies that you mentioned at the beginning of your show, and the caller said they're brand names, but companies like Megabus and Bolt Bus that have a long history, long lineage of doing business, not only in this country, but around the world. They do it safely, and they take the passengers' care as first and foremost in decisions that they make. So there are different kinds of companies, some of which that offer discounts. In terms of the driver, in terms of reincarnated companies or new entrants, I'd certainly agree with Joan that a lot needs to be done, but she may not be aware of what's being done right now at the U.S. Department of Transportation. They are doing, I think, really an exemplary job of keeping out these reincarnated carriers. And we've seen those companies that did come back as a different name, different owner, maybe the wife was the owner instead of the husband, and tried to skirt the law. And they've done a great job of finding those companies and making sure they don't come into business. On top of that, we certainly need to continue the training and continue the regulations that are in place. But to suggest that there are no regulations is really disingenuous. There are lots of regulations. They just need to be enforced.
Okay, let's take a few more calls. We've really got a lot of them backing up. Let's go to Dennis, who's calling from Watertown, Mass. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I hope you could discuss, compare it to the airlines going between Boston and New York, because I spent a long time waiting in security and had three-hour flight delays in airlines. I was hoping you could discuss the safety issues comparing airlines to buses, because right now I think the buses, the preferred mode of travel, even though I dream of someday there being trains that go between Boston and New York in a safe, fast way. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thanks, Dennis. We'll get to that. We're going to compare bus safety and airline safety in a moment. I just want to get a couple of other ideas from listeners up here. Let's go to Sandra, who's calling from Andover. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When my daughter lived in New York, I took generic buses once a month for a year. And I took it in January, and I had pretty good experiences with them. I think they've improved over time. The drivers seem better. The buses seem to be in better condition. But I think that the bigger issue, the drivers seem okay. I think some of the buses are not in very good condition, so they probably do need a better inspection service. But I wouldn't want to see it be so onerous that they would raise the price.
Well, that's the trade-off, isn't it? I mean, that's what attracts folks to the bus. It costs a lot less. And so obviously there's a sentiment out there to keep those prices down. One more call. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Arlington.
Hi. I've driven coach buses in the United States for many, many years, but I've also ridden in them in Mexico. And in Mexico, there's an alarm with a red light that goes off above the driver's face if he exceeds their speed limit. And I found that to be comforting when I'm driving, riding in a bus in Mexico, that I know that they won't speed. And I've been on buses in the United States where I thought that would have been a nice safety measure.
Hmm. Well, let me put that to Joan Claybrook. Joan, one of the recommendations that I've been reading about, for example, is some kind of device that would actually be able to tell if a driver has been driving for too long. Is that something that you would favor?
Yes. Are you talking about in the bus itself?
Yes, in the bus itself.
Yes, yes. Those are electronic devices that measure the amount of time that the bus is operated. And I think that that's absolutely essential for enforcement of the hours of service rule, which requires a maximum of 10 hours of driving and 5 hours more on duty, a total of 15 hours. It's a very long day.
And the way that's enforced now is through a personal journal, essentially, that the bus driver just keeps on his or her, by himself or by herself, right?
That's correct. They're called comic books because they're never accurate.
Hmm. What do you think?
That's why you need electronics.
What do you think about that, Peter Pantuzzo? Another idea to make buses safer and perhaps drivers a little more dependable?
Yeah, well, first of all, the logbooks are accurate in most cases, but there are something called electronic onboard recorders. And there's actually a rulemaking going through the Department of Transportation right now. We have absolutely supported electronic recorders, especially where you have bad log or record keeping and a practice of bad behavior. Again, we think companies that don't follow the law should be taken off the road. Companies that are making mistakes and not accurately doing logbooks definitely should be using electronic recorders.
Let's go to Susan.
But hold on,
yeah,
hold on
ahead.
One second.
Sure,
you can't have electronic reporters in some buses and not in others. That would be a nightmare of enforcement and also implementation. So that's a ridiculous answer. You have to have them in every bus, and then you can determine whether or not there's been a compliance or not. So
Anthony, the reality, Anthony, is that there are different onboard recorders, and the police across the country can't all read the same kinds of recorders. So, until we have a standard, we're going to be using logbooks.
But Peter, let me push back just a little bit here, not to take sides in the argument between you and Joan Claybrook, but we did have a caller asking about relative safety to airline. If airline standards can be national, there are national standards that are insisted upon by the FAA. I don't understand why we can't have one standard for buses if they're regulated by a federal agency. I guess I'm just not following what you're saying here.
No, and you're absolutely right, Anthony. There needs to be a national standard, and there are national rules. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is the national enforcement arm for commercial vehicles, buses and trucks. And standards do exist nationally across borders so that you can operate from place to place in this country, because buses obviously travel in interstate commerce. One comment I would make, too, I think one of the callers talked about trade-off with price. Safety should never be a trade-off. Just because you're offering some kind of a discount, there should never be a trade-off for safety and price.
Let's go to Susan, who's calling from Salem. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling because my daughter, who has taken buses quite frequently, was involved in an accident 3 weeks ago. She had taken a bus from New York City. She is a student at Penn State. On her way home, she was involved in an accident that actually was not in a bus. It was in a 15-person van that she was placed on as a result of the bus that she had purchased a ticket for being oversold. And this is a huge issue, especially with students who transfer or who travel back and forth quite frequently. So she was in this van. She had texted me about an hour before the accident, indicating to me that the driver was driving erratically. Come to find out, he had been stopped earlier in the evening by the state police because he had run a red light. Despite that, they went on, and there was a rollover accident off I-80 in Pennsylvania where my daughter was injured.
Mm. So, can I ask, is she okay now?
She is okay now. She had some injuries, but she is... She is recovering from the injuries. There were no fatalities, but her forearm was under the van.
Mm,
the other
boy.
Folks in the van got out, picked the van up so that she could remove her forearm. She could have been really seriously injured. And I can tell you the call at midnight is a call that no parent ever wants to get.
Right. Susan, I really appreciate the call, and I'm glad your daughter is recovering. And we only have about a minute left. Joan Claybrook, what do you hear in that story? Sounds like a bus company oversold, kids put in a van, and almost
and
a tragedy.
They put them in a van that is hideously unsafe, that should never be driven with more than five people in it, because the Department of Transportation itself has put out warning requirements that 15-passenger vans are grossly unsafe. They often put the luggage on the roof. They're prone to roll over all the time, and they're killer vehicles. And some U.S. manufacturers aren't making these vans anymore. Chrysler, for example, stopped making them. They should not even be insured. They're used often by church groups and schools themselves. And so to have a bus company actually use a van where the DOT has said that these are not safe with more than five people, and they should all be in the front of the van because the rear waiting causes the van to be unstable and roll over.
Hmm.
I'm just outraged by that.
Peter Pantuzza, we literally have 15 seconds left. I'm going to give the last word to you.
Well, I appreciate that, Anthony, and I thank you for holding this forum so that we can discuss bus safety. I think there's lots of opportunities for all of us going forward to have a safer industry. Again, we stand by our record right now. We know we can be better, but we look forward to the opportunities both in Congress and at state agencies and among our own members.
Well, hearings coming up in Washington this year. Peter Pantuzza, CEO of the American Bus Association, thank you very much. And Joan Claybrook, the former president of the consumer advocacy group Public Citizen, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break. Up next, our weekend arts picks and music from singer-songwriter Mark Arely. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.